This is the English translation of Pastor Grace Zhang's message, The Positions and Opportunities of End Time Churches, number 5. So today we will continue on the positions and opportunities of the end time churches. This is our 5th message already. So does everyone remember what is the meaning of apostolic churches? Yeah, so an apostolic church is the church that is fully taken over by the Holy Spirit. It is not built on human's will, but instead it is fully taken over by the Holy Spirit. Basically, early churches are all apostolic churches. Also, there are fivefold ministry in apostolic churches. Remember that we have an analogy of hands for fivefold ministry, right? Apostle, prophets, evangelists, pastors, and teachers. These are the fivefold ministry. So what is the purpose of fivefold ministry? It is to equip the saints and make them mature. So who is the greatest in an apostolic church? It's the saints. You are the greatest in an apostolic church. God gave the fivefold ministry to serve you, to build you, to equip you, and to mature you. So you need to see how important you are in God's kingdom, because God wants to equip you to mature manhood, to the measure of the stature of the fullness of Christ. God needs to train his servants. God equips them, trains them, builds them, and prunes them so that they can come and serve you and equip you. So you need to realize that you are the greatest in God's family. Okay, so today we will continue. Let's read Acts chapter 1 verse 14. All these with one accord were devoting themselves to prayer, together with the woman and Mary, the mother of Jesus, and his brothers. Okay, so in the book of Acts, you can notice that in the early churches, they always pray with one accord, in unity, together. This was mentioned over and over again in the book of Acts. So back in chapter 1 verse 4, Jesus ordered them not to depart from Jerusalem, but to wait for the promise of the Father, which is the baptism with the Holy Spirit. So Jesus asked them to wait, right? Wait until the baptism in the Holy Spirit. So what did they do in their waiting? So 120 people gathered in the upper room, and they devoted themselves to prayer with one accord while waiting. So you can see the principle now. God gave a promise, and then they pray with one accord until the promise is fulfilled. They did not just call for a meeting, right? Okay, God promised this, and there will be a baptism in the Holy Spirit. So how should we divide the task afterwards? How should we evangelize? It's not like that, right? God has a promise, so they continually devoting themselves to prayer and pray with one accord and pray consistently. That's why in Acts chapter 2, the Holy Spirit came greatly. Actually, even if they have a meeting, it's not going to be useful, because everyone was changed completely after the baptism in Holy Spirit. The spreading of gospel is always through means that eyes haven't seen, ears haven't heard, and nor our heart has imagined. Everyone starts to have different gifts, and they never thought about that. They entered a new realm, next level, after the baptism in Holy Spirit. They never thought about that. When the glory, splendor, and majesty of God's kingdom came to them, they are no longer just paper tigers. They used to be ill-tempered, boasting, yet acting cowardly at the same time. But it all changed after chapter 2. So you see, they start preaching and evangelize, and then 3,000 people get baptized. After they got baptized, in chapter 2 verse 46, again, day by day, they attend the temple together and break bread in their homes. They receive their food with glad and generous hearts. Day by day, they praise God and having favor with all the people. And the Lord added to their number day by day those who were being saved. So you can see, after the baptism in Holy Spirit, they received God's promise. They start preaching. Just after the first message from Peter, 3,000 people got baptized. And after they got baptized, they again attend the temple together, break bread in their homes, remembering Jesus' death on the cross for us. And also in verse 42, it says, they devoted themselves to the apostles' teaching and the fellowship, to the breaking of bread and the prayers. So now you can see the sequence. In Acts chapter 1, God asked them to wait until the baptism in the Holy Spirit. and the baptism in the Holy Spirit gave birth to the church. After the church was born, they started their church life immediately. What is a church life? Is it just going to church every Sunday? No, church life is supposed to be day by day, every day, with one accord, remembering Jesus' death for us every day, devoting ourselves to prayer and fellowship every day. This is what a church life should look like. When the believers are living out a church life as what is supposed to be, starting in chapter 3, you can see signs and wonders nonstop. Even the shadow of Peter can heal the sick. Then in chapter 4, another 5,000 men got baptized. Just men alone, there were 5,000. We did not even count the women. God's church was so prosperous, and all these prosper was not in their plan. They were just gathering, praying with one accord, day by day, prayer, breaking breads to remember Jesus' death for them. It's that simple. But churches nowadays don't look like this. They don't live like a Christian. They just live like a churchgoer, going to church every Sunday. It becomes a mere religion. Okay, now I belong to this church because of the religion, so I come to church every Sunday. This is what we call a churchgoer. But here in the book of Acts, there were only apostles and disciples. There were no churchgoers. The apostles served, and the disciples also served. So this is what a church life is supposed to look like. Then in chapter 4, they were threatened, and the priest warned them to speak no more in Jesus' name. How did Peter and John respond to the threatening? We can see that in chapter 4, verse 23 and 24. When they were released, they went to their friends and reported what the chief priests and the elders had said to them. And when they heard it, they lifted their voice together to God and said, "Sovereign Lord, who made the heaven and the earth and the sea and everything in them." Okay, so you can see now Peter and John was threatened and warned to speak no more in Jesus' name. They did not try to come up with some strategies by themselves. Instead, they went to their fellow Christians. Also know that they didn't have a church building at that time, so they gathered at home, and they gathered all the time. And they lifted their voice together to God. Now listen to their prayer. They said, "Sovereign Lord, yes, now Herod and Pontius Pilate, they indeed are doing whatever your hands and your plans have predestined to take place." So see, all these believers are very familiar with the scriptures. "My Lord, you said that. Why did the Gentile rage and the people plot in vain? The kings of the earth set themselves and the rulers were gathered together against the Lord and against his anointed. Yes, this is what you have predestined. But now, Lord, look upon their threats and grant to your servants to continue to speak your words with all boldness while you stretch out your hands to heal and signs and wonders are performed through the name of your holy servant Jesus." That was their prayer. So now what happened afterwards? We can read verse 31 to 33. "And when they had prayed, the place in which they were gathered together was shaken, and they were all filled with the Holy Spirit and continued to speak the word of God with boldness. Now the full number of those who believed were of one heart and soul, and no one said that any of the things that belonged to them was his own, but they had everything in common. And with great power, the apostles were giving their testimony to the resurrection of the Lord Jesus, and great grace was upon them all." Okay, so now you can see that when they were threatened, they did not panic. They did not say something like, "Oh my God, we're screwed, we can't gather anymore." No, they did not panic. Instead, they gathered together and prayed. And afterwards, the earth was shaken, and they were filled with the Holy Spirit and continued to speak the word of God with boldness, as if they have never been threatened. They became more courageous, and they even donated everything they had. So the end result is that the apostles showed great power in their testimony to the resurrection of Jesus. Their preaching became more powerful, and great grace was upon them all. Dear families, churches can never be beaten. God gave birth to his church after the Pentecost. Because of Jesus' death, the Holy Spirit came upon the believers. After the Holy Spirit mightily came upon all the believers, the churches begin. Church is not just a building. Instead, church is the congregation of believers whom Holy Spirit has came upon. Churches are not afraid of threats or ban. Why? because they know that they can't stop but speak of what they have seen and heard. Churches can't be beaten. The more threats they receive, the greater they become. They become bolder, more courageous, and experience greater grace. Dear families, do you now understand this? Church is supposed to be like this. This is the life that you should be living. When everything is shaking and you experience more pressure, more persecution, and when the world is distracting you from the loving God wholeheartedly, and or try to stop you from obeying and glorifying God, let me tell you a secret. If you can enter the united prayer in churches, this can be the time when you are filled with the Holy Spirit and also the time of great grace. This is the time when you will be transformed and the weakness or fear from your human nature will be removed and start to experience the boldness from the Holy Spirit. This is the time when you can experience God more, have breakthrough in your courage and speech. This is what a church should look like. Throughout human history, wherever there are persecutions to the churches often manifest the glory of early churches and apostolic churches. So why do most American churches not look like so? Because there's no persecution, ban, or any threats. But God has spoken. The days are coming. Even though you are now live in comfort, I will start leading you to restore the majestic glory of early churches. So how to restore? It's through our unified prayer. Let's review the keys from the Acts. In verse 23 and 24, when they are persecuted, they knew that they should find their fellow Christians, and they lifted their voice together to God. When you lift your voice to God, there will be a door opening. Your problem will be solved, and you will also be renewed and transformed. Whenever God allows difficulties or persecutions, He wants us to come before Him and experience His heavenly power. He wants to empower us, embolden us, and shows us great grace. So, dear family, this is the gracious will of God. And that's why Jesus said that it's to your advantages that I go away. If I go away, the Helper will come. And when the Helper comes, this is what the Holy Spirit will do. But there's a real key. We need to pray with one accord. Let's look at Acts chapter 12, verse 1 to 6. About the time Herod the king laid violent hands on whom who belonged to the church, he killed James the brother of John with the sword, and when he saw that it pleased the Jews, he proceeded to arrest Peter also. This was during the days of unleavened bread, and when he had seized him, he put him in prison, delivering him over to 4 squads of soldiers to guard him, intending after the Passover to bring him out to the people. So Peter was kept in prison, but earnest prayer for him was made to God by the church. Now when Herod was about to bring him out, on the very night, Peter was sleeping between 2 soldiers, bound with 2 chains, and sentries before the door were guarding the prison. Okay, so there was King Herod, and he made sports of persecuting Christians. He not only killed James, but he also arrested Peter. So I was thinking, why did King Herod order Peter to sleep between 2 soldiers? He was bound with 2 chains already, with 2 soldiers sleeping next to him, and there are sentries before the doors. Why so much trouble? I think it's probably because they know that Peter might suddenly disappear, you know, as that has happened multiple times in books of Acts. But no matter how many chains or lock they put, it's all in vain. All in vain. Why? Because no one can lock God's churches. No one can change God's saints unless God permits. So you see, eventually the angels came and the angels just asked Peter to get up. Then the chains fell off and Peter went out. And King Herod was so mad and killed the 4 sentries. However, in the last paragraph of this chapter, in verse 22 and 23, and the people were shouting, "The voice of a God, not of a man." Immediately an angel of the Lord struck him down, because he did not give God good glory, and he was eaten by worms and breathed his last. So as I was reading this chapter, I realized that this is what God is trying to tell his end time churches. Why? There is a visible physical authority, right? This authority is very cruel. He made sport of persecuting Christians, and he was so cruel that he just killed the 4 sentries with no reason. The chains were there and the prison doors was locked, but the sentries weren't, so the sentries were not slacking off. But King Herod still killed them. But how cruel he was not the key here, dear families. You need to pay attention to the key point. The key point is in verse 5 and verse 12. So in verse 5, so Peter was kept in prison, but earnest prayer for him was made to God by the church. And verse 12, when he realized this, he went to the house of Mary, the mother of John, whose other name was Mark, where many were gathered together and were praying. Okay, so you can see the keys that the churches earnestly prayed for Peter. They were gathering and praying. Also, whenever Peter get out of from the court or from the prison, he always first went to the fellow Christians' place. And it is where the church is. Wherever Christians gather is the church, because at that time there was no church building. And they prayed together with one accord. Also, even though this authority was so powerful and cruel towards Christians and churches, what was his end? Eventually, an angel just showed up. It was not even God himself showed up. Just an angel showed up. The angel struck him down and just killed him by a tiny worm. Dear families, have you realized how powerful you are? How powerful you are! Even when all the enemies are persecuting you, as long as you know how to pray with your brothers and sisters in unity, even when the persecuting authority is very cruel and powerful, you only need to ask God. Then God will send an angel. And the angel does not even need to do much. The angel just asked the worm, go, bite him. Then King Herod was dead. It's that simple, right? So dear families, you need to understand this. This is real. This is not fantasies. This is God's word, and it's real. All these things can happen nowadays, and it should be happening in your everyday life. So you can imagine, what if these Christians respond differently? When James was killed and Peter was arrested, if they were just crying and do nothing. Oh my God, we are so screwed. Our leaders were killed and Peter will probably be killed tomorrow. We have been praying for so long, but it was all in vain. Tomorrow Peter will get killed as well, and just complaining and crying. If it's like that, then nothing would happen, right? But they knew that they should earnestly pray. Even though it was the last day before the trial, nothing had happened yet, but they just kept praying. So eventually God did something. Actually, they had no idea what's going to happen as they pray, right? That's why when Peter eventually showed up, they were surprised and thought that it was Peter's angel. So they didn't know what God is gonna do, but they just gathered. They were very used to just gather together and pray. They were used to just gather together and share everything to God. So God keeps showing with them his right hand, and they became more and more awakened. They had more and more realization that I am really living in God's kingdom. I'm not living in an earthly kingdom. Even though we look helpless and defenseless in earthly realm, and the entire world is against us and persecuting us, but God wants us to understand the Most High rules the kingdom of man. He rules among us. We are the saints in God's kingdom, so we can fear not. We just need to gather in unity and pray. See, God can solve this so easily. No one would have thought that a worm can just kill him, right? And also eventually in verse 24, but the word of God increased and multiplied. So this is the end of the story. The word of God increased and multiplied. Dear families, you need to understand this. You are in God's kingdom, and you are the member of his body. Did you get that? Whenever God permits a persecution, it's to bring you great blessing, to bring great grace, to empower you, embolden you, and to spread the gospel. The word of God prevails. So do Christians have the right to worry? Do Christians have the right to fear? No, why not? Because God is alive and he's waiting for our prayer. He's alive and he's waiting for our prayer. He wants to listen to our prayer. So all your worries and fears is because you did not pray. So let's read another verse in Ephesians chapter 3 verse 9 and 10. And to bring to light for everyone what is the plan of the mystery hidden for ages in God, who created all things, so that through the church the manifold wisdom of God might also now be made known to the rulers and authorities in the heavenly places. Okay, so here God says that there is a plan of the mystery hidden for ages in God. What is the mystery? What is the plan? It's all through the church. Through the church, he will show the manifold wisdom of himself to the rulers and authorities in the heavenly places. That means, even before the creations, God's plan is to build his church. He wants a church that is universal. This church is his body and his bride. Through this church, God will let all rulers and authorities in the heavenly places see that, wow, all these sinners, they used to be so selfish, timid, stingy, ill-tempered, and so weak. But eventually, they all became so glorious, so strong, so bold and powerful, yet full of God's gentleness and humility. They all became like Jesus. Then all creatures in heaven and on earth would know. At first, all the angels were confused. Jesus, why did you need to come to flesh? Why did you take the form of a slave? Why did you allow them to despise you, persecute you, flog you, and nail you on the cross? Why? Only after Jesus resurrected and then the Holy Spirit came, in the book of Acts, the angels start to understand. Oh, so that is what God has been planning. Jesus, the Word, became flesh, and through his blood, Jesus made a better covenant. His blood cleansed all the sin from the sinners, so that Satan can no longer accuse them or convict them. Jesus redeemed his saints through his blood. In Calvary, in Golgotha, he finished all his salvation work. After that, all any sinners, through Jesus' precious blood, can draw near to the throne of grace with confidence. Whatever they pray in unity, God will give them. And God can reign on earth through all his saints, and they became a nation of priests. A nation of priests, and God clothes them with beautiful clothes. So remember, in the Old Testament, Aaron belongs to the tribe of Levi. They are chosen, and God asked them to serve as priests and offer sacrifice in front of him. God also said that Moses shall make holy garments for Aaron your brother, for glory and for beauty. Do you see that? When you put on the holy garment, you become his priest. And God sees you as glorious and beautiful. That's why in Revelation chapter 1 it says that he freed us from our sin by his blood and make us a kingdom, priests to his God and Father. We are a kingdom, and we are of royal race. He redeemed us with his precious blood, and we joined the royal race. We also became a kingdom priest, and we reign on earth through prayer. So this is what a church should be. God turned into flesh, and everything he did on earth, all the work he finished in Calvary, was for church. In Ephesians chapter 1 verse 22 and 23, and he put all things under his feet and gave him as head over all things to the church, which is his body, the fullness of him who fills all in all. So the church is filled by the head over all things, and that means churches are supposed to be the head over all things on earth. Churches are supposed to reign on earth. Who dare to persecute them? The more people persecute the church, the more God's words prevail. Even greater grace will be on them. So the church becomes more powerful, right? It's indeed like so. So the reason why you are so weak is because you are not persecuted enough. Therefore, you shall greatly praise the Lord for the oppression from your boss. You shall greatly praise the Lord for the oppression from your spouse. You are so weak because you did not praise the Lord for all the difficulties you face, either it's from your parents or from your coworkers. You should respond in this way. Yes, God, this is what you said. You said, when others revile me and persecute me on your accounts, I will be blessed. So when you start to praise God for all these things, you will be emboldened and you can experience his great grace. So you really need to know your own identity and positions of churches on earth. When all the Christians come in oneness, and we are all in oneness with our head, Jesus Christ, we will become the greatest and only threat to Satan. That's also the reason why Satan is using all his might to divide the church and destroy their unity. So we Christians need to know this. Satan is really afraid when we come in unity and pray with one accord. If you read the book of Acts, you will find that they are always together, in unity and with one accord. God values unity so much. Maybe you didn't pay much attention to this. and you thought that you are not in dispute with others, but God knows the reality. Are you eager to maintain the unity with other members, or do you care more about whether your own opinions and your wills are executed? Which one do we value more? Unity is so important, but we did not realize that. We often think it's more important to see my opinion adopted, and that is why we often become the weapons of enemies to divide the church. And we need to really understand the importance of unity. So why do you think the apostles can stay in unity? Back when Jesus was with them, they were not in unity. John and James asked their mom to ask Jesus so that they can sit on the left and right next to Jesus. So you can see their competitions back then. But why fast forward to Acts chapter 1, they became so obedient to Jesus' command to wait in Jerusalem and pray eagerly in unity? The Bible did not give an answer, but I believe it's because they all failed miserably. Peter was so embarrassed because he denied Jesus 3 times. Other apostles were no better because they all fled. Everyone knew that they were as weak as others. They all fled away and they all failed. But they all experienced Jesus' complete love and acceptance after his resurrection. They were all failures, but they were all loved and accepted by Jesus. So they can acknowledge and embrace each other, and they can stay in unity despite all their weakness. Unity is the most difficult thing to achieve. When the Moravian brethren first gathered, their leaders Nicholas Ludwig von Zinzendorf almost could not imagine how he could lead these people. Even though every one of them is very devoted, they are very opinionated. They all belong to different denominations, and they all believe that their own denomination is the best. That gave Mr. von Zinzendorf a lot of challenges. It's usually easier to lead new believers because they are like blank slates, and you can enjoy the process of their life growing with you, just like your own kids. But for people with their own religious background, they have many strongholds from their past experience, either good or bad. If they believe something is good, they think it's imperative. If they believe something is bad, that becomes a taboo. It's very hard to change them. So in the beginning, it was very difficult for Mr. von Zinzendorf, but later he tried to have some one-on-one time with the members, and he encouraged everyone to emphasize the points that they both agree on, and not to stress too much on their differences. Don't keep saying something like, "Oh, we're so different," but instead we should emphasize the things that we are similar. That same rule applies to couples. There must be something similar in a couple, right? Why? Because you are both Christians. Maybe you are both Asians. There must be something similar between you two. The more you emphasize your difference, the more divided you two become. So Mr. von Zinzendorf really had the wisdom, faith, and love from God. After his multiple one-on-ones with the members, they all agreed to make a divine covenant with Mr. von Zinzendorf on May 12th. Everyone is willing to have their lives as a living sacrifice, just like their leader, Mr. von Zinzendorf. And they are willing to devote their lives and services to Jesus Christ according to their specific callings. So this is the real important point. They say that they are willing to devote their lives and services to Jesus Christ according to their specific callings. So here's the secret to unity. You have to first unite with Jesus Christ. We need to devote our lives to Jesus Christ. I am of Jesus, not of Paul's, nor of Apollos. I am of Jesus, not of this denomination or of that denomination. I am not of Presbyterianism, not of Baptist, not of CNMA. I'm just of Jesus. I'm in oneness with Jesus and my life belongs to him. No longer I, but Christ lived in me. Yet at the same time, we all know that we have our specific unique callings. Dear families, every one of you guys has this. God made us unique, and we each have our own special skills. Maybe you may say something like, I have nothing special, I'm just slow at something. But you know, if you're slow, that usually means you are detail-oriented or meticulous. That also means you are more patient, right? So these are your specialties. their families. We all have our specific callings and specialties. Maybe you are very good at stuff that are labor intensive or requires a lot of patience. All things in our beings are good for something. So each person faithfully serve our Lord Jesus Christ, not just performing in front of Mr. von Zinzendorf. After they all do that, they started to be in oneness. Starting from May 12th and on August 13th, Holy Spirit came upon them greatly. Every one of them received the heavenly power and it kicked off the revival. More and more prayer and ministry trips begin. It's all because of their unity. So it's important to remember that our unity is to unite ourselves with Jesus Christ, not asking others to unite with me. It's not asking everyone to be like me, but all of us be like Jesus. So what does Jesus want? What does Jesus like? What does Jesus want us to do? Through unity, God brings great grace. Can you imagine the missionary work that Movarian brethren have achieved within 100 years is far greater than the sum of missionary work from all other churches? Why? It's all because their full devotion to Jesus and unity with Jesus. They also had many unified prayer before the actual revival. All these are the keys. So their prayer began among their leaders. Gradually, all the brothers joined, and many of them started to schedule small group prayer meetings. They poured out their soul before the Lord, so God's work can be unfold greatly. You can really see the importance of unified prayer. And the same thing was mentioned in Leviticus 26 verse 8. 5 of you shall chase 100, and 100 of you shall chase 10,000, and your enemies shall fall before you by the sword. Okay, so remember that the power of unified prayer far surpasses our understanding. Here it says that 5 of you shall chase 100, but 100 of you can chase 10,000. So you can see that when you elevate yourselves from individual prayers into unified prayer, you are entering a completely different realm. The outcome becomes exponential. Your individual prayers is like the realm of addition, but unified prayer in groups are like the realm of multiplication. Your outcome is multiplied in unified prayer. So that's why God is calling for a prayer movement in end-time churches. He does great things through unified prayer. Remember His promise that whatever we bind on earth will be bound in heaven, and whatever we lose on earth will be loose in heaven, right? You can do that by yourself. God will listen, but it's not going to be very fruitful. If you pray the same thing in unity, God will fulfill that prayer with extra power. So back in the winter conference in 2006, God shared a vision that in heaven there is always harp and bowl. This is written in Revelation chapter 5. The sound of the harp is worship and the bowl is full of our prayer. When someone prays on earth, it's like a mic, and the instruments in heaven will change their melody according to our prayer. Some saints are familiar faces in heaven, like Jan Gayan or Mike Bickle. They release their prayer all the time, so the worship teams in heaven are very familiar with their voices, and they match their song and instrument sets according to their prayers. For the saints who don't pray that often, their prayer still goes to heaven, but it won't change the melody that they are praying. And there is another category, which is the corporate prayer. The Lord told us that corporate prayer is like the drumsticks. When a corporate prayer is released, it's like the stick hitting the drums. Every angels can hear it, and they will stop and adjust their music according to the corporate prayer. The Lord told us that these corporate prayer is quite rare in the history. Throughout the history, it's more common to have some devoted individuals who release a lot of prayer. But God told us that our church is the one who hits the drum in the heaven. We, FRCC, Forerunner Christian Church, our corporate prayer can stop all the living creatures and let them join our prayer. So dear families, that is because we have been doing so many prayers since we were in Milpitas. Also thanks to the church building, we have so many church prayer meetings. So God sees and takes great delight in our corporate prayer. Because of that, God gave me a burden to raise up the leaders and intercessors in churches. Leaders and intercessors are the two most important groups in the church. All as long as they all follow God in unity, the entire church can prosper. It's because all God's works relies on prayer, and the prayer needs to be led by leaders. And the leaders need to train the intercessors, so they can pray in unity with the leaders. Through this, there will be great revival in the church. Nonetheless, most leaders nowadays see intercessors as some annoying folks. Why? Because the intercessors did not build their inner life, and they boast themselves for their prayer and their abilities to see vision, and they became the headaches of their leaders. Also, many intercessors are not practical. They prefer to stay in the third heaven or in Israel, but the intercessors are never with the leaders. Why? Because the intercessors prefer big names and large pool. The more magnificent it sounds, the more they like it. Kingdom prayer, apostolic prayers, but they don't want to commit to the church and become the helper and support of their pastors. Intercessors are supposed to support their pastors, pray for them, help relieve the pressure from the church, so that the pastors will have time to pray. That's why God directed us to have a conference for leaders and intercessors. Even though many people told us that the leaders would not come, because they don't want to show up in the same place as the intercessors anymore, but I decided to plan according to the burden I received. So in late January, only roughly 400 people registered. But after our prayer in the prayer meeting, 1,200 people registered after just 1 week of prayer. Now we have 1,400 people already, and more people are still registering even though they need to go to the overflow zone. So dear families, our united prayer is really powerful, and the entire heaven will join our prayer. Also, the three conferences that I am leading this time are very important. The first conference is for leaders and intercessors. Once you build the leaders and intercessors in the church, it's like the power plants of the church being built. When the leaders and intercessors unify with each other, it can generate huge impact to the kingdom. Our second conference is for Aboriginal people in Taiwan. The Aboriginal people are the firstborn son of Taiwanese. And our third conference is for the Presbyterian churches, which are the firstborn son of Taiwanese churches as they are the first churches built by the missionaries. For each conference, God wants us to receive His words for directions, ask God for the needs of the group and people, and we ask God what He wants to do in this conference. Then God starts to give us vision, words, or scriptures. Once we receive them, we ask the pastors in the local for confirmation, and they amen to everything. Also here, I want to point out something. Sometimes in the message, I talk about visions and dreams. This is a very special gift that God gives to apostolic churches. This is because we would not have the direction for prayer unless God points out something. Through visions and dreams, God can reveal many key points, and you can see the needs and problems of the congregations. So this is a very precious gift. Therefore, if you have any questions regarding the visions or dreams that I can share, you can come ask the pastors. But I hope that we can all learn to embrace this precious gift, as this is a very important tool for God to point out the directions for spiritual warfare. So back to the points of unified prayer. Praise God that last year, through our unified prayer of everyone, I accomplished the mission impossible. For the upcoming conference, the pastors and leaders really need your prayer. We specifically need God to give us prophetic words and grant us gifts or signs and wonders. We also need to pray that when God's words get released, it will manifest on the congregation through signs and wonders and can do His convicting, healing, reforming, and constructing work in spirit, soul, and body. For example, in the winter conference that we just finished, there are so many testimonies. One of our sisters, she has so many wounds from her authorities in the past, and that made her a very cold person toward her authorities, as if there is a thick wall in between. But through the message in our conference, her cold heart starts to melt down, and she can embrace God's love again. More than that, God also unfolds her destiny to her. After the conference, she's completely healed. The next day when she went to work, her boss was so shocked because her attitude and demeanors completely changed. She used to be very passive, distant, and indifferent, but she is now so warm and radiant, and even greeted her boss. Dear families, we Chinese people really carry many wounds from our past. So I really hope that through his words, signs and wonders can happen in the congregation. The unfolding of his words gives light and can heal and build everyone. It can happen in no time, and we need that accelerated work. More than the healing in physical health, but we also need healing in our heart and spirit. To get healthy, get strong, and rekindle the passions, we really need everyone's prayer. So when we are praying, we are to declare that Satan was completely defeated in Golgotha. Prayer is simply declaring our victory in Golgotha through faith. Satan, you are defeated. You have no more authority on this person. Church is the body of Christ, and church is the beautiful bride. Satan has no authority over churches anymore. Satan, let go of your hand. You can no longer do the dividing work. You can't oppress the churches anymore. Churches should arise, leaders arise, intercessors arise, and they will all be in one. Churches will restore their majestic glory, restore their beauty, and restore their authority. Churches shall reign on earth. So it's also very amazing that God raised up many brothers among us. Like in the short-term mission trip that we just had, some of our brothers spent extra time in the middle of the week. They went to many churches to share testimony and preach. It's so amazing that God is building his vessels in our church. If you read Matthew 16 verse 19 and chapter 18 verse 18, before Jesus talks about whatever you bind on earth shall be bound in heaven, the verse immediately before that is talking about church. That means for our prayer to be powerful, you need to commit yourself to a church so that you can exercise the authority in the corporate anointing. That also means if you are not committed to a church and just pray with two or three people on your own, some of your prayers will be listened, but your authority and power is much more limited. You can only achieve the highest authority in a corporate anointing. You need to eagerly interact with your church members. Don't overlook this. You need to make yourself fully committed to his body. Church is his body, and you can't just leave the body, or you will lose your cover and lose your power. If you can commit yourself to the body, interact with each other, honor each other, and submit to one another, enter the reality of oneness. In that foundation, whatever we bind on earth shall be bound in heaven, and whatever we loose on earth shall be loosed in heaven. So please pray for our short-term mission trip. Even if you can't join the trip, when you pray, you are actually doing the mission with us. Because in the scripture, it says that the people who go down into the battle and the people who stay by the baggage shall share a light. And even if you can't join the mission trip, when you faithfully pray for us, you will get the same reward. I believe through the intercession, God will really elevate our prayer and authorities to the next level. Also remember that unified prayer is really important, and that starts from the unity in your home. Unified prayer of husband and wives is very critical. For example, one of our youth suddenly fell into depression on Friday, to a degree that he can't even get up on Saturday for prayer meeting. After the parents returned from the prayer meeting, the kids was still very depressed, so the parents kneeled down before the Lord and prayed for their kids. They prayed from 1 p.m. to 2 p.m., and then at 4 p.m., suddenly their kids got up from the bed. He then said that he had no idea why he was so depressed. It was just some very small thing. He never behaved like that, but because of the attack from the enemy, he became very depressed. It's the unified prayer from his parents saved him from the attack. So the same rules apply to small groups. I know that God accomplished many testimony through unified prayer in our small groups. There were many occasions that could have caused a huge division. It's all because of our unified prayer that we stood firm. God wants to use our corporate testimony to bless many Chinese churches. And I believe that through all the spiritual warfare and prayer, we can all become the mighty man who can bless other churches. Because of our unified prayer, I know that God will also bless you greatly. Also remember that the heart is the key to unity. We need to have the same heart to be unified, And that's why Paul talked about love in 1 Corinthians chapter 13. In chapter 12, he talked about spiritual gifts using the metaphor of our body. God's gifts can only be fully manifested in a unified body. But how can be unified? And that's why he talked about love in chapter 13. We can only be unified in the foundation of love. In chapter 14, he talked about the practical aspects of how to love. If I can't build up others as I can't interpret my tongues, then I would rather speak five words with my mind. So we do everything for the benefits of others. If others can't be benefited by it, then I restrain myself from doing it. This is the love that can lead to unity. Only in this kind of love can God's blessings and His gifts reach the highest level. Amen and amen.